The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This week in our series on disinformation, we're looking at how vaccine distrust is growing with potentially disastrous consequences for human health. But how do we expose the online conspiracy nuts for what they are? And is there another approach we could use? We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And you've been reading what Dr. Michael Ryan has been saying.
Yes. So Dr. Michael Ryan, one of our own, told the WHO Health Emergencies Committee that vaccine disinformation is only going to get worse. Now, we've witnessed since the COVID era a massive increase in this. But back in 2019, even before COVID was a thing that people knew about, vaccine hesitancy was declared a top 10 threat to public health because around the world, different areas had stopped vaccinating because they were encountering scary anti-vaccine disinformation online. So the fact that this is going to get worse, Mike Ryan is absolutely correct on that, but it's quite a worrying prospect for us going forward.
Now, the idea we are always telling people, check. If you see something online, don't take it as gospel. Check it out if you can. But he's saying that fact-checking alone is not enough.
And it's not just him saying that. So this week in the New York Times, Elliot Higgins from Bellingcat, the investigative organisation, said that fact-checking alone doesn't work. And there's a reason for that. So back in 2016, social media is a huge part of this. Back in 2016, the Columbia Journalism Review came out and said that the fact that we're all using social media to get our news is making us increasingly polarised. Because we don't necessarily have good media literacy, mm-hmm. we see a headline that agrees with our prejudices or amplifies our fears, and we subscribe to that. And that puts us into an echo chamber or a filter bubble well away from other sources.
And of course, with algorithms, you keep getting the same stuff.
Absolutely. And the more you consume, the more it feeds back to you. I know I've said this on this show before, and I'll say it again. We will one day look at social media companies the way we look at cigarette companies. They are only interested in engagement. They do not care about the consequences. So Elliot Higgins' piece in the New York Times said that maybe social media companies could be more, you know, proactive in their moderation. I don't think that's going to happen. But the second solution proposed was that we need to become more media literate and have better critical thinking skills. Now, obviously, I've written a book on critical thinking. I'm quite happy to promote that, particularly in the run-up to Christmas. But the important thing to point out is that's really important. If people have this information hygiene where they stop and ask, is this information designed to scare me? Is it designed to engage me? Yeah. You're less likely to be negatively affected by it than if you emotionally buy in and then have to try and pull yourself out.
So you have to develop a healthy scepticism about pretty much everything.
We could call this segment healthy scepticism, because absolutely you do. Back to Michael Ryan's comments, though. The reason that vaccine disinformation is going to get worse is because the people that have capitalized on these fears have now realized there's a huge market for it, and they've already got a very polarized dynamic. We currently have the prospect of a vaccine denier being made the head of the human sciences over in the US in the form of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So this has been mainstreamed and legitimized in a way that 10 years ago it would not have been. One of the things that Michael Ryan did say that's interesting, he said that vaccine hesitancy itself is not necessarily a bad thing. And by that, what he means is there's a difference between saying that people are anti-vaccine and pro-vaccine, a simple binary. We know that actually people are on a spectrum. They either accept everything or they accept most, mm-hmm. or they have fears. And we know that anti-vaccine activism nudges people down the scale towards rejection. So the classic example in Ireland was the HPV vaccine. Most of the parents that weren't vaccinating their children weren't dyed-in-the-wool anti-vaxxers. They were just scared.
They needed reassurance.
And they need reassurance. So one of the things he suggests is we need to have that messaging too. The era of automatic trust in authority, trust in your doctors, is gone, particularly when you can go online and find a bunch of fringe doctors who say the exact opposite. So we are in a very uncharted territory.
You wonder how people emerge from the medical schools and then preach anti-vax stuff when they must know from their medical education that vaccination is one of the greatest things that happened to humankind.
After clean water and sanitation, nothing has saved more lives than vaccination. It's so stark. Like if you look at old Victorian era records, you see how many people died in childhood from now vaccine preventable illnesses. Now, about 10% of medical graduates in the US do voice anti-vaccine sentiment, but partly because it's lucrative, because you can then tap into a market of parents who want a vaccine negative clinician. And this is not, by the way, an all-you-can-eat buffet. You can't pick and choose this. You know, it should be evidence-based. And the evidence is overwhelming that vaccines save lives and are incredibly safe and effective.
Okay, but I mean, are there some vaccines for which there is an acknowledged side effect?
Absolutely. And there are side effects to everything in any medical intervention you could possibly have. But the way we do things is on risk-benefit analysis. You put your seatbelt on in a car, even though your seatbelt could, in theory, decapitate you in an accident, because overwhelmingly, it's more likely to save your life than it is to cause you any lasting injury. And it's the same with vaccines. Now, the side effects of vaccines, when they exist, are usually fleeting and very, very minor. Mm-hmm. You've all had a vaccine and felt a bit woozy after it, or had an inflammation at the site of injection. That's mainly what we see. But at the same time, that has to be balanced with the fact that these are preventing life, you know, decreasing illnesses.
Yeah, and for highly infectious conditions, they're bestowing a herd immunity, which, of course, is what the target is.
And that's sometimes what we miss with public health. It's not just for you. We often get vaccinated to protect other people as well. And that is hard to message. And we do have to work on our messaging for that, to say that, look, it's not just, people used to say during COVID, when I was asked a lot about this, they'd say, well, I'm only 25 and why would I need the vaccine?
I'm all right, Jack.
Yeah, but you're living with your granny who's 85 and has serious COPD. Yeah. That's why you get the vaccine, because you're trying to build that firewall to protect everyone. So it's societal health. That is hard to message.
Indeed it is. David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.